This morning, I want to introduce you to a fellow who is really religious. Ever heard that said about someone? You know, he's a really religious guy. He goes to church on Sundays and even Wednesdays, and he knows a lot of Bible verses. You never hear that guy cuss. He takes his religion really seriously, listens to Christian music in his car, right? Carries a Bible around. When it's, they're having a family reunion and somebody needs to bless the food, you know, you pick the guy who's the most spiritual, Cousin Eddie. Would you bless the food? I don't know that you'd want to ask Cousin Eddie to do that, but this morning, I want you to meet one such person, really religious. His name is Balaam, and we're going to read about him in the book of Numbers, starting in chapter 22, and you can turn there, and we're going to have scriptures behind me on the wall, but it might be hard for you to read, so if you have your Bible, turn there. And as you're turning there, just a little bit of background, the Israelites, leading up to this story, they'd been kind of coming across the desert, and they were going to enter Canaan, and they reached Kadesh, and I think you know the story. The 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan, the promised land, and they went about and toured the land, and they came back, and 10 of them said, "No way, can't do it, they're too big, too strong." Forgetting, apparently, that God was with them. Of course, Joshua and Caleb were faithful to God and were ready to obey. But unfortunately, the people listened to the bad report. And so God judged them. And back into the desert they would go for 40 years of wandering. And through all that bad stuff that they went through in the desert, God stuck with his rebellious people. And as they finally wandered closer to Canaan, they encountered a mighty nation called the Amorites. The Amorites attacked Israel, but Israel routed them in battle. Now, this was a very disturbing event to the neighboring nation of Moab as they watched, because the Amorites had proven themselves more powerful than they, the Moabites. And if Israel could kind of have their way with the Amorites, boy, Moab is in trouble. What would this mean for us? They worried. Now let's pick up the story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "Then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, 'This horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field.' So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the river in his native land. Balak said, 'A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country, for I know that those you bless are blessed and those you curse are cursed.'" So Balaam had this reputation. Apparently, he was in good with God. And if he put in a good word, that is, if he pronounced a blessing on someone, then God would apparently honor that, and he would bless that person or that nation, at least so it was believed. But if Balaam were to put a curse on someone, then the recipient of that curse would be the recipient of a bad fortune. Verse 7. The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. "Spend the night here," Balaam said to them, "and I will bring you back the answer the Lord gives me." So the Moabite princes stayed with him. Now here's a guy who comes off very religious. They make a request of Balaam. They bring him money. And he doesn't say, "Oh, okay, you got the money, whatever you want." He says, "No, I've got to pray. I'm going to go to the Lord with this. I'm not doing anything without consulting the Lord." Verse 9, God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" As if he didn't know. Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps I will be able to fight them and drive them away." But God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed." Well, now what? What's Balaam going to do, right? They bought all this money with them, right, from King Balak. God's telling him, don't do it. What's he going to do? Verse 13, "The next morning Balaam got up and said to Balak's princes, 'Go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you.' So the Moabite princes returned to Balak and said, 'Balaam refused to come with us.'" So Balaam passes the test. God said no. Balaam tells them, "No, just keep your money." But King Balak doesn't give up easily. Verse 15, "Then Balak sent other princes more numerous and more distinguished than the first. And they came to Balaam and said, 'This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me.'" So Balak kind of ups the ante now. Can Balaam take the pressure? We're talking piles of gold and silver and whatever favor Balaam should ask of him. Let's see. Verse 18. "But Balaam answered them, 'Even if Balak gave me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything, great or small, to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Now stay here tonight as the others did, and I will find out what else the Lord will tell me.'" Now, is this guy something? I'm not doing anything without the Lord's approval. I'm going to keep the command of the Lord no matter what you offer me. You can't buy me off. Wow. How could you not admire Balaam? How could you not be impressed with a guy like that? And he says, "Stay here. I'm going to talk to God again." Verse 20, "That night God came to Balaam and said, 'Since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you.' Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab." So once again, just doing what God told him to do. Good for Balaam. So far, if we were to give Balaam a grade, I mean, I'm thinking A+. If I had to give him a grade, what grade would you give him so far? But we're limited. You and I can only see his actions, and we can only hear his words. And that's all we have to go on. We can't do what God can do. God can peer straight into the soul. He can test whether there is real devotion, real love, or if it's all an act. If what we had read so far was all we had to go on, then we come to the New Testament. This wouldn't make a lot of sense, what we read about Balaam, for example, in 2 Peter. Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this: False teachers have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. And you could also go to, if you want to jot down Revelation 2, I think it's verse 14. You can read about Balaam again there in the New Testament. Wait a minute. They've left. They've wandered off to follow Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. What's going on here? It seems like Balaam's doing everything right. Well, let's keep reading. It's going to get weird and wild about now. Verse 22. It says, but God was angry when he went. So God told him to go. Now it says God is angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. And we've kind of been over this before. If in the scriptures, when it speaks of an angel of the Lord, well, that could be anyone. But if it uses the definite article, the angel of the Lord, that's almost certainly a reference to Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's probably Jesus here standing in the road to oppose Balaam. It says Balaam was riding on his donkey and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me." I always think that's weird. He's worried about looking like a fool, and then he starts to have a conversation with his donkey. "You have made a fool of me. If I had had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Kids, he's talking to his donkey. That ever happened to you? Noah, have you ever had that happen? You don't have a donkey. That's why. Isn't that weird? He's talking to his donkey. Something isn't adding up here in this story. Why is the angel of the Lord standing there with sword drawn, ready to kill Balaam, who is doing exactly what God told him to do? Go ahead and go see him. God says, don't go with them. Balaam says, I can't go. God says, don't curse them. Balaam says, I can't curse them. God says, okay, this time go ahead and go with them. Balaam says, I'm coming. I've got the green light from God. But when he goes, God was very angry. And this is the first indication that something's not right. And that mere outward obedience isn't what God wants from us. God is looking for something else. Do you remember what God told Samuel? The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the... Fill it in for me. The Lord looks at the heart. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. His path was not a reckless one before anyone but God. To all human observers, the path looked like obedience. It wasn't a reckless path before his companions or before his servants or before those who came to summon him, only before God. Because only God could see the path in his heart. The Lord continued, verse 33, "The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." Should have apologized to the donkey, I think. Saved his life. God knows Balaam so much better than Balaam knows himself. Balaam seems to think that the problem was that he went. "Oh, did I hear you wrong? I'll go back if you want me to go back." The problem wasn't that he went. You don't even see it, Balaam. Verse 35, "The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, 'Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you.' So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the Moabite town on the Arnon border at the edge of his territory. Balak said to Balaam, 'Did I not send you an urgent summons? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you?' 'Well, I have come now,' Balaam replied. 'But can I say just anything? I must speak only what God puts in my mouth.'" So here's some more religious talk. Boy, this very religious sounding. And he's going to add to his religious words some religious deeds and some religious actions. Skip down to chapter 23, verse 1. Balaam said, "Build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did as Balaam said, and the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Well, that should make God happy, right? God loves it when we perform these religious rituals for him. Right? No? Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your offering while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet with me. Whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you." Then he went off to a barren height. God met with him, and Balaam said, "I have prepared 7 altars, and on each altar I have offered a bull and a ram." The Lord put a message in Balaam's mouth and said, "Go back to Balak and give him this message." So he went back to him and found him standing beside his offering with all the princes of Moab, and Balaam uttered his oracle. Ready? "Balak brought me from Aram, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come," he said, "curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? From the rocky peaks I see them. From the heights I view them. I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and may my end be like theirs." Wow. Balaam has a chance to get rich. How many people spend their whole lives chasing riches? And here it's this easy. Just curse them. He has a chance to get rich. And instead, he gave the message that the Lord had put in his mouth. Of course, would it even have worked? Right? Verse 11, Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them." He answered, "Must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" Man, this guy is, he's just spiritual. He looks like a pious, holy guy. Then Balak said to him, come with me to another place where you can see them. So you will see only a part, but not all of them. And from there, curse them for me. So he took him to the field of Zophim on the top of Pisgah, and there he built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, stay here beside your offering while I meet with him over there. The Lord met with Balaam and put a message in his mouth and said, go back to Balak and give him this message. So he went to him and found him standing beside his offering. And the same thing here. Princes of Moab, Balak asked him, what did the Lord say? And he uttered his oracle. Arise, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? This sounds like a sermon. I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Balaam is saying a lot of true things about God here, sounding very upright, sounding very religious. I'm sure that everyone was impressed. Verse 21, no misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest until he devours his prey and drinks the blood of his victims. The king of Moab is now beside himself. This has gone spectacularly wrong for him. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. It's just like, just shut up. You're making it worse. Balaam answered, did I not tell you I must do whatever the Lord says? Man, when you think about a servant of God, what does that look like? A true servant of God, right? Balaam is the guy. Balaam's just like the Christian rock star here. To the naked eye, he looks like he belongs in Hebrews 11, right? The hall of faith. By faith, Balaam, when summoned to curse the children of Israel, spoke only what God put in his mouth and instead blessed them. Can't you just imagine that? Verse 27. Then Balak said to Balaam, come, let me take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God to let you curse them for me from there. So Balak is a very slow learner. And Balak took him to the top of Peor, overlooking the wasteland. And it's the same routine. We won't read it. They build the altars. They sacrifice the bulls. Balak waits there by the altars. Balaam goes off. He seeks God. He comes back with the message. And the message is one that's very positive for Israel. Let me ask you something. Just from your vantage point, not counting him beating his donkey, okay? Let's put that aside. Do you see anything in Balaam that you could fault him for? Hasn't he said and done exactly what God has asked of him? Doesn't he look like just the picture of a religious person from our perspective? But God looks into the soul. Jump down to chapter 24, verse 10. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell the messengers you sent me, even if Balak gave me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything of my own accord good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord, and I must say only what the Lord says. Now I'm going back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in the days to come. Balak lets you and I talk. What was said in that conversation? Back to that donkey ride. I think we have a very good idea of what was going on. I think Balaam was scheming as he rode along on his donkey. I think Balaam realized that it would be futile to curse God's people. God had blessed them, after all. And now what a dilemma for poor Balaam. How unfortunate for him, because he would have to leave all that money on the table. Surely, there was a way to technically keep the command of God not to curse Israel and still help Balak and still charge for his services. And I think that's what God was angry about. And I think that's why the angel of the Lord stood in the path of that donkey with sword drawn. I think that's the reckless path that Balaam was on, that God was referring to. Not the path that the donkey tread, the path in his heart. And I think that the talking donkey and I think the terrifying angel with the sword, that got Balaam's attention temporarily. How often God will get someone's attention temporarily, and a moment of fear will strike someone. They have a tragedy in their life, and God has their attention temporarily. But then that grows old and fades into the distant past, and then they kind of go back to the path that they were on. Balaam experienced fear, but his heart wasn't changed. His intentions were the same. His scheming eventually resumed. He did not repent of his evil intentions. Whew, I escaped death. That was close. And then went right back to his plans. Balaam couldn't utter a curse that would hurt Israel. So why even try? But what he could do, he could pull Balak off to the side and tell him how to get Israel to destroy themselves by enticing them to sin and thereby turning their God against them. And that's exactly what Balaam told him, and that's exactly what Balak did. Jump down to chapter 25, verse 1. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods, so Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. In chapter 31, we see that later, after Israel had eventually gone to war and defeated the Moabites, the army spared the women to Moses' dismay. And we get a little more of the story here. It says, they fought against Midian as the Lord commanded Moses and killed every man. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. The Israelites captured the Midianite women and children and took all the Midianite herds, flocks, and goods as plunder. Have you allowed all the women to live? Moses asked them. They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and were the means of turning the Israelites away from the Lord in what happened at Peor so that a plague struck the Lord's people. Balaam, from man's perspective, did all the right things. He said all the right things. He knew all the right words. And boy, could he look pious. Boy, could he look religious. Boy, did he have his tie on well. Boy, did he carry his Bible to church. Boy, was he there every Wednesday night. Boy, could he recite those Bible verses. He probably won some quizzing contests. Boy, did people look at him and say, there's a religious man. But God is interested in a man on a deeper level than that. God doesn't want just mere obedience. You know, He could create a robot to do that. God is interested in a woman on a deeper level than that. What we can observe with our eyes as humans and hear with our ears. And children, kids, listen to me. Listen to me, please. God is interested in you on a deeper level than the religious acts that you do to impress your fellow peers or your parents or your pastor or anybody here. God wants your heart. He wants your devotion. He wants your love. He wants you. You know, God could make that guitar play itself up here. He could make a donkey talk. What does He really want? He wants somebody from that behind that guitar who loves Him. God wants you. He doesn't just want your actions. Oh, however I get it done, He could make a robot. Balaam's saying, okay, I'll do it. I'll do what God wants. I'll say the words He wants me to say. I'll do the thing. I'll get on the donkey. I'll do what He wants me to do. No, Balaam. He wants a real heart of devotion. He plumbs the depths of your soul. He weighs the motives that no man can see. He measures your true inner desires. He discerns who you really are on a soul level. Please hear me. Who you really are, while that can be hidden from men, it is on full display before the Lord. Balaam looked great on the outside. Balaam had a form of godliness. He had the appearance of godliness when you look at the externals. But on the inside, his heart was false. Lord, if there's anything false in me, I know you see it. Show it to me and purge it.